This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Julia Jacobs. Earlier this week, Minister in the Prime Minister's Department, Datuk Mujahid Yusof Rawa, announced that a plan to introduce a dress code for Muslim women in the workplace, specifically for those working in the private sector, was in its final stages. Why this issue, over many other pressing issues facing women in Malaysia, is a mystery to some, myself included. And I try to get some clarity over the matter from Tan Hyang Lee, the Communications Officer for the Women's Aid Organization, or WAO. Welcome, Hyang Lee. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so Hyang Lee, I mean, I guess for those who don't know about this, what is the policy that he's talking about, and you know, what was the rationale for it as described by Datuk Mujahid, who happens to oversee religious affairs?
Yeah, so according to Datuk Mujahid, this dress code is meant to protect Muslim women from discrimination in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's really based on, you know, the cases where, you know, women are prohibited from wearing the tudung in their workplace. You know, there was a recent case where frontline hotel staff, you know, they were not allowed to wear the tudung. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, this policy, you know, could be stemming from these cases. So on WAO's part, you know, we do believe that this is discrimination. Mm-hmm. In fact, we have spoken up when the case of the hotel staff emerged earlier this year. But we also want to point out that, you know, policies that make wearing the headscarf compulsory are also discriminatory. So the fundamental issue is really about upholding women's freedom and choice, mm-hmm, to wear what they want. And if we really want to address discrimination of this sort, then what we should be doing is to prohibit employers from discriminating women based on what they wear or based on their gender. We don't see how implementing a dress code would actually address this issue adequately. And moreover, having a dress code really would place the burden on women to conform.
Exactly, exactly. Which might in turn, you know, put them to face even more discrimination at the workplace, mm-hmm, right? I mean, adversely, that could be the reaction as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I also want to point out that Dr. Mujahid Yusof Rawa had said that, you know, this dress code may not be binding, or at least that was what was reported. But we want to highlight that, you know, dress codes ultimately set norms and standards in the workplace. And therefore, you know, we are concerned of the type of pressure that this would place on women. And in particular, we are concerned that, you know, this policy would ostracize Muslim women who choose not to conform to the dress code. And this would lead to, you know, social pressure, harassment, and more discrimination against them.
Against them, exactly. And I mean, I think I read the reports as well. And the minister, when he had when he heard about the backlash, you know, all he could say was maybe the word Sharia compliant sent shivers down the spines of some people. But let's just say it's a dress code, mm-hmm, that is culturally and ethically right. We are not being controlling. But this is actually what I found problematic about what he said. He said, if a woman refuses to follow the guideline, fine, it is their choice, but at least the guidelines is in place. I mean, his choice of words says a lot. Refuses.
Yeah. So, you know, even that statement where, you know, they're saying that women who refuse to wear the dress code, it sort of implies that there is some sort of implicit pressure, right, to conform to this code.
Exactly. So it's not really a guideline, is it? I mean, your choice of words says it all.
If a dress code or guideline is optional, then really, what is the point of having this guideline, right?
So I guess, as I mentioned earlier in my introduction, I mean, there are so many issues, so many pressing issues facing women. I mean, what would your recommendation be to, you know, the kind of things that need to be honed in at the moment instead of, you know, policing what women are wearing?
So we would like to see a Gender Equality Act being enacted in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. The act should prohibit gender discrimination in all sectors and also accelerate the fulfillment of gender equality. And secondly, we also want to see a Sexual Harassment Act. Mm-hmm. As we know that sexual harassment is very rampant and women are often harassed based on what they wear or do not wear, as we saw in the case of, you know, YB Nurul Izzah earlier this year.
Yeah.
And I also want to highlight, you know, when we are talking about this issue, our stance has really been that we need anti-discrimination laws, not a dress code, to address the issue of women who are being discriminated. And earlier this year, in January 2018, the Ministry of Human Resources had actually proposed amendments to the Employment Act to prohibit discrimination on the basis of gender and religion. And this amendment was following the case of hotel staff who were prohibited from wearing the headscarf. So, you know, law reform is really the way to go. We need to prohibit employers from discriminating and to create laws and policies that uphold women's rights. And ultimately, we want to see our policymakers, you know, spending their time and resources working to create laws that will improve women's lives. We really don't want to see more restrictions on what women can wear and restrictions of women's freedom of expression.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, you know, at the last session of CEDAW, the 69th, session of the UN Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. So that was back in Geneva in February. And I think the CEDAW committee actually was very dismayed that overall women's human rights, especially those of Muslim women in Malaysia, had actually regressed. And this would be another kind of form of that, would it? Would you say?
Yeah, you know, this could ultimately curtail, you know, Muslim women's freedom of expression. And it is concerning if we see this dress code going ahead. And yeah, I also want to highlight that the CEDAW committee had told Malaysia that we needed a Gender Equality Act. Mm-hmm. And this call wasn't just a call that was made this year, but this call was actually made back in 2006. So it's been over 12 years now, and it's time that we see better laws to protect women against discrimination. We don't need a dress code.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much, Hyang Lee, and I hope the people in charge listen. I've been speaking to Tan Hyang Lee. She's the communications officer for the Women's Aid Organization. And we were discussing why it's a bit problematic that the minister in the Prime Minister's department is planning on introducing a dress code for Muslim women in the private sector workplace. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Feminist Fridays interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play and the App Store. This has been Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.